Well, thank you very much, Mr. Brown. And boys and girls, it's a great privilege and a great pleasure for me to be able to come along this morning and to join you in your Children's Day service. Do you know, I went to a church one time and I said, this isn't a Northern Ireland accent. I said, I wonder, does anybody at all know where I'm from? And all the hands went up and they said, I pointed to a little boy. I said, where do you think I'm from with an accent like this? And the little boy said, Liverpool. And I said, that's right. I said, now tell me, what do you think we are famous for in Liverpool? And another little boy put his hand up and I said, yeah, what do you think we're famous for? He said, sir, taking the hubcaps off the car. And that wasn't the answer I was expecting, of course. I thought he was going to say football, because boys and girls, we have two tremendous football teams in the city. We have Everton, and we have Everton Reserves. Two brilliant football teams. But I haven't come to you to talk about football today. I've come to share with you the Word of God. And boys and girls, do you know, I said to Mr. Brown, I said, I know what I'm going to share with the boys and girls. I'm going to speak to the boys and girls about Adam and the fall. And I watched Mr. Brown's face and it went sad. And he shook his head. He said, Phil, he said, the boys and girls know all about Adam and the fall. How sin came into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for the role of sin. Because we've taught them in Sandy Row and we've taught them in the Martyrs. And I said, well, that's fine. I said, I know what I'll be able to do. I'll be able to tell the boys and girls about Moses and how for 40 years he lived in Egypt and was considered to be a prince in the land. And then for 40 years he lived in the wilderness. And for 40 years he led the children of Israel, 120 years of age he was when he died. Mr. Brown shook his head. He said, Phil, we've taught them about Moses as well. And how he took the Egyptian and he buried him in the sand. We've told them all about that. I said, well, maybe if I speak about Joseph. He said, no, we've taught them about Joseph as well. And so it really created a problem for me, boys and girls, because I thought, what on earth can I teach the boys and girls that they don't know at the moment? And of course, when we have listened to you reciting the Bible verses and all those choruses, you're well taught here in Belfast. Well, I thought I would share with you one verse of Scripture. It's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 10. And we read these words, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so, boys and girls, I want to tell you about a young boy that came from this city. A young boy called Billy, who came from Belfast. He lived in the east of the city. I'm not sure where we are here in the Martyrs, whether it's north, south, east or west. But Billy came from the east. He had no brothers or sisters. He just lived at home, you know, with his mum and his dad. In fact, his dad worked at the Harland and Wolff Shipbuilding Company. He worked on one of those big rigs that often we see when we travel near to the dockland of the city. And his mum, well, Billy's mum would just stay at home. And she was a housewife, and she'd do all the washing and all the ironing and all the cleaning for the family. You know, unlike many of Billy's friends, this young lad never really had a hobby. Oh, the boys would all go out to the park and play football, and the girls would go and would play rounders. But Billy, he wasn't athletic at all. He didn't really like sports. And so when the boys went off to the park and the girls went off also in their groups, Billy just looked after himself. You see, he was one of those lads that liked his own company. He was quite happy and he was quite content to make up his own amusements and to please himself. Do you know, often when his friends went to the park, Billy would make his way into his dad's garden shed. Do you know, as far as he was concerned, it was like an Aladdin's cave to Billy. He'd get into his dad's toolbox, and boy, he could see oh so much. Sometimes he'd have to get into the corners, boys and girls, and he'd get the torch out, and he'd look into the corners, and there he'd find something very, very, very special. Oftentimes he'd come across a whole host of different things, and Billy would start looking and he'd start seeing what's happening with all these things. And they were electric. And Billy would have the time of his life in his dad's toolbox. He'd get out dad's hammer. And boys and girls, he'd get out the hammer and he'd start knocking away. And he'd start tapping different things, and he began to make different things. Oh, in a very short space of time, you know, we found that Billy would be measuring up the length of different pieces of wood. And Billy had a creative mind. He started to design. He started to make things. Things that people considered to be very special for them. You know, one day, an old woman called Nellie from the end of Billy's road, she knocked on his door and she said, "Billy, I wonder could you make me a footstool. When I'm watching the TV of a night, I want to be able to put up my feet and sit in comfort." And so Billy began to get the different pieces of wood. And he began to saw them, and he got it into the shape that he needed to get it. He took out his tape measure. He made sure that all the sides were the same. He made sure that the height was the right height. And Billy built a beautiful footstool. Oh, Nellie's next door neighbour, she said, "You know, I need a couple of benches for the kitchen. Do you think Billy would make me two benches?" And so she went and she spoke to Billy, and he began to make footstools and benches and chairs. Even the girls in the area would come and they'd say, "Billy, can you build a doll's house for my baby sister?" And he became somewhat of an attraction within the area. This young lad who had such a gift in the art of design. Do you know, boys and girls, one day Billy came into his mum and dad and he said to his mum and dad, "I'm taking on no more work. I want to build something for myself." His mum said, "What do you want to build, Billy?" And he proudly announced, I want to build my very own ship. A model ship which I propose to sail. Well, for months, boys and girls, for months Billy went in the shed, and all his mum and dad could hear in the shed was knocking away. All as they could hear was all the tape going as Billy decided to build this boat. And you know, he'd often come in and he'd often sit down in the chair, and Dad would look across and he'd say, "Have you not built that ship yet?" And he'd say to his dad, "No, but it's a special ship. It's going to be worth the while waiting for, Dad." It must have been months. And then eventually, Billy announced to Mum and Dad that he'd finished the ship. And boys and girls, you should have seen the design that he had. Let me see if I can get this out. The ship was special. You know, his dad said, "Billy, I've had a look in the ship," he said, "and there's no engine." "Ah," Billy said, "there's no engine, but there's the sails. And Dad, once the wind catches the sails, the ship will bob along on the waves." Dad began to smile, you know, and Mum said, "Well, Billy, what happens if the crew on board begin to get naughty and they misbehave?" Billy said, "I've thought of that, Mum." He said, "I'll get them to walk the plank." We thought of everything. His dad said, "But Billy, you know, when the ship comes into shore," he said, "how's it going to stay still and not be taken out to sea?" Billy said, "Dad, I've got a big anchor that we'll put down. What if pirates come? What if a thief comes in the night and tries to steal and to rob?" He said, "We'll be able to put lookout towers." And they were all in the side of the boat. You know, Billy had thought of everything. He said, "Dad, one day I'm going to build a ship like this and I'm going to sail it in Belfast Lough." His dad said, "Well, how on earth are you going to get it from my back garden shed to Belfast Lough?" He said, "I'll put wheels on it." You see, Billy was bright. He'd thought of absolutely everything. And then his mum said, "But Billy, does the ship float?" Boys and girls, he hadn't thought of that. Oh, he built it with its sails. He built it with its plank, so that any who may offend will have to walk the plank. He built it with the anchor and with the wheels below. But he didn't know if it would float. And so he said to his mum and dad, can we take it to the seaside? Can we take it just to see if my boat will float?" Well, mum and dad thought, "I know what we'll do. We'll go to Loch Ness. It's not too far from Belfast. And we'll take both the Saturday and the Lord's Day and we'll go out there, we'll make a weekend of it. And on the Saturday, Billy can take his boat and he can float it on Loch Nye. Do you know he was up early that Saturday morning, boys and girls? And he sat in the back of his mum and dad's car and he hugged the boat. They'd hardly stopped and Billy had jumped out of the car and he was racing over to the water. Mum and dad quickly run after him. And Billy took his boat and he leaned down and he put it into the sea. What do you think happened, boys and girls? Sorry? He fell in. He might have fell in, yes. Yeah. What do you think happened? It sunk. How many think it sunk? Wow. How many think it floated? Oh, there was a few. Well, boys and girls, he put it in. He put it into the lake. And you know, it began to float. And Billy took the boat and he pushed the boat out. And boys and girls, it began to float. And he cried out with joy to mum and dad, "It floats! It floats!" And they hugged each other and they watched, boys and girls. And the boat, it just carried on. And it carried on. And it carried on. And boys and girls, you know, in next to no time, the boat had disappeared. Mum and Dad were looking out. And one moment they could see it afar off, and the next moment it completely disappeared. And Billy began to sob. All that time, and all that effort, and all for nothing. The boat was special to him, and yet now it had gone, and it had gone for good. Oh, Billy ran back to the car and he threw himself into the back seat of the car and he wept and wept and wept. Mum and Dad brought him home and he ran upstairs and locked the bedroom door and he was oh so miserable that night. Mum and Dad thought he'll get over it. But boys and girls, the following day, Billy was just as miserable the following day. Oh, he was downcast. He was discouraged. He was disheartened. He was dismayed. And so Mum and Dad thought, perhaps we should have around some of Billy's friends. We'll have a sleepover. But Billy didn't want to know. Perhaps if we buy him a new boat. But he didn't want to know. And then eventually Mum and Dad said, well, what we'll do, we'll go on holiday to Portrush in a few weeks. No, he'd never been to Portrush before. Who's been to Portrush, boys and girls? Isn't it great? And so they went to Portrush. Oh, it was a number of months later. They went to Portrush. And he was going to have, boys and girls, 5 sleepovers. 5 sleeps in Portrush. And one day, Billy was out with his mum and dad. Mum and dad were standing at the ice cream van waiting to get ice cream. And Billy's just walking along. He's thinking about his boat, you know. And he stops at a shop window. And he looks into the window and there, boys and girls, in the centre of the window, was Billy's boat. Oh, he'd lost it months and months ago, but somehow or other, the boat had found its way into the window of a charity shop. And Billy ran over to his mum and dad and he got hold of them by the arms and he pulled them across to the window and he said, "Look." He said, "Look, there's my boat." Mum and dad said, "Billy, it can't be your boat. We lost your boat miles and miles and miles away from Portrush. It must be a boat that looks just like yours." But you know, Billy knew all of the detail that he'd put into that design. And he said, "Mum and Dad, I'm telling you, that's my boat." And so they went into the shop. They went into the shop to see the shopkeeper. And Billy began to tell him all about the boat that he'd lost. The boat that he had designed. The boat that he had cherished. The boat that he had lost those many months ago. And do you know what the shopkeeper said, boys and girls? He said, "Well, it may have been your boat previously, but it's my boat now." Oh, he was a hard-nosed shopkeeper. And Billy said, "But what will it cost? What will it cost to buy the boat back?" Shopkeeper said, "It's going to cost a lot of money." And Billy put his hands into his pockets, all the pocket money that he'd saved on the run-up to the holiday. He pulled all the money out of his pockets and he put it on the counter. And he said to the shopkeeper, "Listen, you have all that I have. Sell me back the boat." And the shopkeeper could see all those tears, you know, running out of Billy's eyes and down the cheek. And the shopkeeper went to the window. He took the boat out of the window. He gathered up all the money that Billy had left. And he said, "Here, son, the ship's yours." He was absolutely delighted. Do you know, he ran out of the shop and he stood in Portrush. And he looked at the ship, and do you know what he said, boys and girls? As he looked at the ship, he said, "I made you." He said, I made you and I loved you. But I lost you. I made you, I loved you, I lost you. But praise God, I found you again. And I brought you back. Do you know, boys and girls, when I think of Billy, when I think of Billy and his boat, it reminds me of the gospel message, you know. The Bible says that we were created in the image of God. And remember, away back there in eternity, God created man in the Garden of Eden. And he gave him a command that he could eat of the fruits of the tree of the garden, with the exception of one, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, of that tree, thou shalt surely die." And we know the story, boys and girls, how Eve was beguiled of the serpent. And she took of that forbidden fruit, and she ate, and she gave unto her husband, and he did eat. And the Bible says the eyes of them both were opened. The fall and sin had taken place. Do you know the Bible says of you and I that the Lord knows all our downsittings, and He knows all our uprisings. He knows more about you and me, boys and girls, than we know about ourselves. The psalmist David could say, "Thou knowest my thoughts afar off." Before we think things, the Lord knows what we're about to think. David the psalmist could say that thou art acquainted with all my ways, because the Lord knows all about us. And just as the boat was special to Billy, so boys and girls, you're special to God. You know, you are that special that when God created you, He broke the mold. There is nobody in this world quite like you, boy and girls. No one with your DNA. No one who is designed just like you. Oh, we may have brothers and sisters, and they may be similar in many ways. But when God created you, it was a one-off. David could say, "Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's wombs." In fact, do you know the Bible says that He wrote all our members in a great book that God has. And boys and girls, do you know this morning, you're special to Him. The Bible says that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. The Lord spent more time on you than Billy spent on his boat. And the Bible says that the Lord loves us and He gave Himself for us. We all know, don't we, that well-known Bible text, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But you know, boys and girls, sin has tarnished our walk with God. Because He made us, and because of sin, because of transgression, we're lost. But praise God, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what we read in the scriptures before. We're precious to Him. We're special to Him, and He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that He might bear our sins in His own body on the tree. Do you know, He took my sin and He transferred to me His righteousness. And now the price has been paid. And the deal has been done. He made us. He loved us. He lost us through sin. But praise God, He's redeemed us back by His precious blood. And boys and girls, that's why we come to Sunday school, you know. To hear what great things the Lord hath done for us. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I wonder, mums and dads, boys and girls, can we look back to a time When we called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When by faith we asked the Saviour of sinners to come into our hearts and souls, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can we this morning read our title clear to mansions in the sky? Are we born again of the Spirit of God? Or do we have no time for the things of God? Do we have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know, boys and girls, I want you to remember when we go home today about Billy and his boat. I want you to remember what he said when he got that boat back. I made you. I loved you. I lost you. I found you. I redeemed you. And I'm taking you home. Because for those of us that trust in Christ, one day, we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you may be out of Christ and lost by many a snare. Do you know, we would not see you lost and lone, for we want you over there. I trust, boys and girls, that you'll remember Billy from Belfast and his boat. But most of all, I trust that you'll remember the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us.